All students back at school by the end of next month. Free interstate travel in November and up to 30 guests for Christmas lunch. That's according to Victoria's plan to get out of lockdown, informed by modelling from the Burnett Institute. The Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews announced the roadmap yesterday. Today there were 567 new cases and a woman in her 70s died.
Get the vaccine that's on offer right now. That's the most powerful contribution you can make to your safety, your health, and of course to us meeting all those national cabinet timelines so we can open the place up, see the people we love, have our freedom back, and move beyond this. Move through a very difficult gateway, but end these lockdowns and normalise this virus and get back to something approaching normal.
Professor Margaret Hallard is from the Burnett Institute's, she's the Deputy Director of the Burnett Institute, and joins us from Melbourne. Welcome.
Good evening, Patricia, and Margaret, please.
Margaret, some have criticised the plan as slow based on the modelling you've done. Is Victoria's roadmap out of restrictions a safe one?
It's a roadmap which is going to be hard to prosecute without putting enormous pressure on the health system. So when people talk about it being slow or some people talk about it being fast, it's trying to say how do we move along that really difficult tightrope of relaxing restrictions, but at the same time not overwhelming the health system. And it's really difficult, and we all need to be trying to do our bit, getting vaccinated, getting a test if symptoms, following the restrictions that are in at that particular moment. Because the way forward is we've actually got to try and say we don't want the peak to be high, and the lower we can get that peak, then the less likelihood that we're going to pressurise the health system, and then that allows us to move forward to each of the next steps in a really timely way without, you know, causing people to die.
If we follow the roadmap as announced without any additional measures, will Victoria's healthcare system be able to cope with the increase in COVID cases?
If you have a look at sort of our predictions, it's sort of 50-50. And, yeah, and this is where models, as I say to people, they're a tool. They're not absolutely precise, and we recalibrate with new information. But at the moment, there's a chance that we will, but there's a chance that we won't. And there's things that we can, as I said, change about that in terms of vaccination, testing, the like. And there's also some other things that may, as more data becomes available to us, put us on a better pathway. And that might be, and as I'm sure everybody's being really educated these days, that effective reproduction rate of how much, you know, the transmission rate of the virus. And at the moment, we're having to model it, because that's the data we've got available in Victoria, as being a little bit higher than you might expect. And that might be because of the way it's been transmitting through the northwest of Melbourne. But if it was to drop down a bit in other areas of Melbourne, we might actually find things are easier. But we can't be sure of that. So it's a really difficult, tight kind of road that we're travelling.
Will this ultimately lead to unnecessary deaths?
No. We will have deaths. COVID has deaths. But unnecessary, I mean,
Any death is unnecessary.
Yeah, that's
it's
what
a
I was
funny
say.
Word.
It's an interesting word, yeah, I was going to say, because, I mean, I think it's really important. And this is, again, I was speaking to sort of family members yesterday about this, and this kind of thing of, underlying or pre-existing illness. Well, my brother, who is younger than me and has a child who is 5, has a pre-existing illness because he requires immunosuppression for a kidney transplant. In my view, if we have COVID run and he's at high risk, I would call that an unnecessary death, because we could have protected my brother and numerous people like that, because there are many people in our community who have pre-existing illnesses. So any death is terrible. So our job is to try and reduce the likelihood of that occurring. But at the same time, we have to go, can we be in lockdown forever? So we have to try and find a balance. But it is no good solution to this. So as we open up, we have to recognise that if we're not getting high levels of vaccination, we are putting people at risk, and there are consequences to that.
Look, thank you so much for joining us. It's such a hard time, but I really appreciate your time talking about these issues again.
No worries.
Professor Margaret Hallard is the Deputy Director of the Burnett Institute, and this is Radio National Drive.